Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilbor, it is Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm some guy named Frankenberry, and welcome to the show. Another new edition of such, and a very cool guest that we are going to have in segment number two today.
All right, so I need to, I know there's certain guests that I decide early on I'm going to stalk. But our guest today, Courtney McDermott, I have already purchased her book in both Kindle and print format. That tells you a little bit how much I'm enjoying what she's got to say. She's really cool. She is a TEDx speaker. She's a best-selling author. She has written a book called Change Starts With You, Unlock the Confidence to Lead with Intuition, which will be my next read. But she's here, going to be here today in a second segment to talk to us about her latest book, which is Give Yourself Permission, Be Confident, Be Happy, Be You. And I'm not sure how I can put words to this. I'm feeling a shift within myself just reading her work, like a settling down, opening up. I am loving it, and I cannot wait to talk to her.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. It's more than just what I'm feeding into my mind. I can feel something different. It's awesome.
Oh, that is crazy good.
And that's not just because you spilled coffee on yourself, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I love my coffee. I love my coffee too much to be careless with it and splashing around.
That didn't happen because Craig put your hand in some water while you were sleeping.
Right.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, you would have been aware in the morning time if he had, yes.
Does that actually work? Has anybody ever tried that for real?
Who's going to try that?
You never had a roommate in college?
No, I never did.
No. I mean, I've drawn magic marker all over people's faces. I've put eyes on their eyelids, stuck an egg in their mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Stuck an egg in their mouth?
Harmless stuff. You pass out with your head sideways on a couch. I've already written all over your face and I'm bored. I'm going to take an egg and stick it in your mouth and take a photo. Okay? Just fair warning.
Yeah, future reference. Keep that in mind, Jonna.
That is hilarious. I love it. So you want to know what's not hilarious? You want to talk about something less funny than falling asleep and waking up with an egg in your mouth?
I do, because I sense there's going to be a rant coming, and your rants are always entertaining.
Oh, Carol, you know me so well. There is a rant coming, and I'm going to tell you something. I have been racking my brain for the last 12 hours. I can't decide whether I want to like call out the specific location of the establishment I am about to rant about from the Department of Redundancy Department, or do I want to just make it a general PSA.
I would go with general PSA.
I figured you would say as much. Okay.
Okay.
I will go with a general PSA. So let me just state for the record, I have long fallen out of love with the Postal Service. Okay. Now, I have long fallen out of love with them because, well, I will say, for example, in the city of Poughkeepsie where I have my business, for inexplicable reasons, for many, many years, not just recently, many years, like pre-pandemic, it is always a crapshoot as to whether something I put a stamp on and send out into the universe from this location in Poughkeepsie will ever actually make it to its destination. I got about a 50-50 shot of that happening. And subsequently, there's a 50-50 shot that somebody who intends to mail something to me at this location, that it will actually arrive. That has been an issue for many, many years. I can't explain why we've complained. Let me set the scene. It was a bright and sunny day.
Which is rare these days.
Yes.
Especially on weekends.
I had received a notice on my door that someone was sending at my home, not my office, that someone was sending me a package that required my signature. And I could not tell from the notice the sender, which is important because, like, you know, if it's some sort of weird marketing, weird, you know, it's election time kind of like advertisement that they're trying to get my attention, that package is going to sit at the post office until the fibers of the paper from which it is made turn to dust, right? I'm not going to make a trip to the post office to get it. But I couldn't tell. I went online to check. I still couldn't tell. So I have no choice but to go to the post office to retrieve this package. So at the same time, I had to go to the post office because I'm in business and routinely I get an extension to pay my taxes. And that deadline was the same day. And I had two envelopes bearing large sums of money that in check form that needed to be sent to the tax collectors. And I just wanted to put a first class stamp on them and get proof that I had put them in the mail on this particular day. Not uncommon. So off to the post office I go. And I notice when I get there, there is one worker at the window. There is a counter that has about four or five windows. There's only one person working. There is one person in front of me. There is nobody behind me. Okay, so we are the sole people in this particular post office. Now, I also notice after a couple of minutes, which if you've ever counted, like I challenge you right now, hold your breath for 2 minutes. It's a long time, okay? So I'm sitting there and the guy in front of me is looking at me and I'm looking at him and we're twiddling our thumbs. And I think we noticed, but we did not say anything to each other, that part of the reason why this one transaction that we were waiting to conclude was taking so long is because the very kind, congenial postal worker was having a conversation about Halloween.
Oh, no.
Freaking weed. Okay, now here's where you can go.
Holla.
Here's where you can go to pick your pumpkins. Here's where you can go see a horseman without a head. Here's where you can go like Julie the cruise director, which ordinarily would be fine were the entire place empty of other customers waiting to get their stuff done. But we weren't. So finally,
well, she's after starting to brew.
Literally, after 5 minutes, they finally call the person in front of me to the window. Now, I can clearly hear what's going on there. And what happened was this person had purchased a P.O. box online, and the P.O. box online, whatever, said, now you go to the post office and you pick up your key. And he was there to pick up his key. And it turns out the post office doesn't accept your online registration for a P.O. box. No, no, no. They want paper. They want physical paper. You need to bring physical paper because the U.S. Postal Service, they're going to store that paper, according to this person. Who stores paper? Who uses paper in 2023? Oh,
can you feel the windup, Frankenberry?
Nobody. So now this poor guy who was waiting with me, who thought he was being efficient, they tell him, get out of line, go fill out a paper form and come back. Part of me is laughing on the inside like, ha, ha, ha. So now, while he's filling that out, a second person comes up and says, is anybody dropping something off or picking something up? So I have my little ticket and my two envelopes, and I walk up to her and I go, yeah, I'm here to pick this up. And then I'm here to just mail these first class, but I need proof that they went into the mail today. Oh, I can't do that. Here's me. Come again? Oh, no, no. I can go get your package, but I can't put stamps on these envelopes for you. So now, you know that meme where there's a little blonde girl and her hands are, and her head's swiveling around like she doesn't understand what the heck's going on? I become that.
Her upper lip is kind of curled up a little bit. Her eyes are darting to the side.
Yeah, I become that meme. And she goes to get my package that, remember, I did not know where this package was coming from, right? So she goes to get my package. She hands me my package and I say, because now there's a line of 10 people. So we went from two people to 10 people. I said, are you sure you can't just put two stamps on these envelopes and let me go? She goes, oh, no, I can't do that. I am just here to grab packages. And I look at her, and in my head, I'm going, do you not see behind me that there are now 10 people lining outdoor? And I just have two, like, the simplest of transactions. There is no simpler transaction at a post office than to mail a letter.
We would have saliva on our glasses right now if we were hearing this story in person.
I know we would.
So, she's spitting mad.
I know. So now I'm having this conversation in my head, and I slowly back away from the counter. Now, I said to myself, I am not getting at the end of this line to wait for part two of my transaction. I've been here too long. So I just trot myself right back to the front of the line. Like I just backed up, like, boop, 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 boop. I'm just going right back to where I was before she lured me. So now the poor guy who was refilling out his form is standing there. I'm standing there. We're still waiting for customer service rep to take the next person. And when he calls for the next person, I let the first guy go in front of me because I'm like, you were here first. You've been suffering for 5 minutes longer than me. You go. He thanked me. He goes. And the next person in line is a very nice little old blue-haired lady. And she turns to me and she says, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I had to do that once myself. And I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about, right? Yeah. And I look down at my package. Oh. The package that I did not know from whence it came.
Oh, no.
No, it's not what you think. It's not like stool sample or
anything.
Yes,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
The box with the little blue square guy.
Yes.
Okay.
No, all right. It is not that. But across the face of this package in a bright orange sticker, huge, is the word cremains. Yes. I realized at that moment that the entity who had sent me this package was the same place that was returning to me the unused ashes of my dearly departed grandmother after I had sent the ashes to them to make me some jewelry. There was left over. They ask you whether you want it scattered someplace nice or whether you want it returned to you. And all I could imagine was my grandmother's extra ashes being, you know, used in some ciggy butt ashtray in front of an office complex in Indiana.
Oh, my God.
Said, you send them back to me. I did not know I was going to have to sign for them. I did not know that. And now.
And you didn't realize. So this woman said something to you that that's what you were holding.
Carol, I was waving that package around while I was having this conversation. You know how I talk with my hand. I got this package in one hand and I don't know that there's cremains across the face.
No.
You don't know that you're waving your grandmother.
Frank, she would have been so proud.
She would have.
And there I sit like a moron with this little old blue-haired lady going, I had a friend. I had to spread the ashes in the Hudson River. And I looked down at my package like I knew all along what was in there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that was very nice of you to do. Very, very nice. And then finally they called me. And the whole entire, this whole thing that I just described to you in probably like way too long, 10 minutes, it was over 30 minutes. Over 30 minutes.
No.
More than 30 minutes. Yes. So I'm here to say, in conclusion, because this could
thank you.
Yes, thanks.
This could be any post office in any town in any state. And I know it's funded by our federal tax dollars, which I was paying at the moment. No, you know what the guy who was feeling my pain, who had to fill out his form for the post office box, you know what he said to me before he left? He's like, you're not going to believe this, but I next have an appointment at the DMV. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I said, what is wrong with you?
Yeah,
what
that's a day from hell.
Let me anoint you with my grandmother's cremains. Here, come here. So that was my experience. And I appreciate the small talk. I mean, I think that the nice person who was taking care of people, he wanted to be nice. He wanted to small talk. That's all I got to say.
20 minutes later. Okay.
Sorry. I'm tired.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel good. I don't know about you, but I feel good.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm glad you got that off your chest there, Spilly.
Thank you.
I got to say, anytime I've gone to our local post office in Beacon, they've all been very, very nice. But it is one of my least favorite things to do, to go to the post office and stand online. Never understood why they don't have a vending machine where you can buy a stamp or 100 stamps or a book of stamps. I've never seen that. Not in the post office anyway, where you got to get online and wait to do something. So you didn't have stamps, or you already had them stamped?
I didn't have stamps, but I also needed proof because they're going to the freaking IRS.
Each person is assigned as almost like a cashier for that moment. They can't handle somebody else's money or what they're responsible for.
Yeah, that's probably the case. But she couldn't go into the
door.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I just took a pin and burst her anger bubble.
That's like me, right? I'm head honcho at this office. That's like somebody coming in and saying, can I borrow a pen? And I say, no, I just own this place. I don't know where the pens are. Like, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, I love you to death there, Spillboard, but that analogy did not work.
Oh, whatever.
Here's the issue, John. Johnny, you're letting little things get you all worked up.
Here it comes.
And you just got to give yourself permission to be happy sometimes.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, you are welcome. That was a smooth segue.
Okay. Doing my best here. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be talking with Courtney McDermott. She is the author of multiple books. Her most recent, Give Yourself Permission, Be Confident, Be Happy, Be You.
All right, that is what's on the way. Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, and myself, and our guest up next. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and segment number two, you all know segment number two, is where we get to our guest.
Yes, and so I've openly admitted a few times in the past that there's been some guests we've had on who I love and admire so much that I just might stalk them. So this is another one of those cases. I am reading a book right now. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute, that I ordered on Kindle, read through it one time, fell in love with it, and have since ordered now the paper book back copy of the book because I want to have the physical book that I can reread and go back to. We are so, so happy to bring to you today Courtney McDermott. She is a best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and a renowned strategic trainer for corporate executives, business students, and entrepreneurial leaders worldwide. Her influential work has garnered recognition from major media outlets, including Success Magazine, Women's Health, Fox News Chicago, MindBodyGreen, Startup Canada, and the Huffington Post. Her debut book, which was called Change Starts With You, Unlock the Confidence to Lead with Intuition, was handpicked for Inc. Magazine's prestigious list of 26 favorite books of high achievers. She is a graduate of the esteemed London School of Economics and holds a certification as a cultural linguistic mediator. She is here today to talk to us about her latest book, Give Yourself Permission, Be Confident, Be Happy, Be You. I am in love with this girl and her work and her message and the love she has for what she wants to share. Courtney, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Carol. I have to say it is a mutual admiration society, so we can stalk each other both ways. I love what you're doing. I listen to your show. I think you're fabulous. So I'm here ready to talk about it. Let's go.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so let's start with the backstory. This is where I always like to begin with this book. What led up to you writing this book? What's the backstory, and what is it you want this book to do for people?
So the outline of this book actually came sort of as a download. And I think lots of times when we write these things, we're also writing them for where we're at, right? But it was, every chapter was give yourself permission for something, because I had seen so much in my work, especially with women, this tendency to just not give ourselves permission. And so each chapter was dedicated to whatever it was, give yourself permission to do what you love, give yourself permission to make a lot of money doing what you love. And it came out of definitely out of my own life and all the transitions that I live through. I often joke that I've lived so many lifetimes in this life. And it came out of that. It came out of just my own experience, but it came out of this desire for sure to see everyone, but especially these, a lot of high performing women who just can't sort of maybe relax enough to give themselves that permission. And so that's a bit of the backstory, and we can dive deeper if you want.
Yeah, so I also mentioned when I was introing you in the first segment, Courtney, and I'm not even sure I can put proper words to this. I read a lot. John and I are both avid self-improvement fans. And as I was reading your book, it was more than just an intellectual experience for me. It was more than just, oh, yeah, because there's a decent amount in your book that I've heard before. But your delivery was, wow, okay, she knows me. She's speaking to me. But beyond the intellect, beyond the knowledge that you share, Courtney, I was feeling a shift within myself, like a settling down. And okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? What was happening there?
Yeah, I'm getting truth bumps all over. I call them truth bumps, you know, when someone tells you something that's just so real, right? And that is definitely what I want with this book. And even when I give talks around, it's kind of like, how does the formless want to use this form, right? So instead of it being about what individual Courtney needs to do or whatever, it's kind of like, what is that deeper message? And I'm delighted that, yeah, it's really heartwarming that you had that experience with it. And I know for me in the writing, there were many times where I went from that intellectual, you know, kind of trying to get at it that way through the writing, through also even the same in my experience, and then into that place where you're just led. And that's the place that we can't fully describe and we can't fully put our heads around or our hands around, but that is delightful. Yeah.
And I think perhaps this is what is making your book so unique, at least in my experience, is, you know, we hear a lot about the left brain, logical drive. Here's the steps. Here's what you got to do. Put a plan together. You got to have a clear vision, those kinds of things. And then you hear other books that are, you know, maybe Eckhart Tolle or where it's really the big picture spirituality, the source energy, Abraham Hicks, those kinds of things. And you're taking some of the logical steps. You're taking some of the big picture, you're taking some of that sense and that intuition, and you're pulling it all together to say, okay, here's why it matters, and here's how you can apply this.
Right. Well, and if you look deeply at the stories of people like Esther Hicks or Eckhart Tolle, they were trying to get at it first through the intellect. And I do believe that there is an amount of efforting required, and it's almost a flippant giving up of that. And it's for me, I talk about this a lot in chapter 5, where it's like, I had to kind of just let go of that sort of trying to get at it that way. And that's when boom, all that other stuff clicked in. And I think for a lot of people, it's like that, because we're so hyper trained to kind of revere the intellect and put it first and believe that we need to take these logical steps to get wherever we're going. And that's fantastic. Nothing wrong for it, especially if you've got the mind working on your behalf, which unfortunately few of us do. But if that's happening, then great. But there's still this place where it can't go. And so in the book, I sort of wanted to bridge that divide. And it's really fantastic that you picked up on that.
Courtney, can I ask a question? This is Jonna. And please. What you're talking about. So I think all change, all real change, and comes from a place of feeling, right? You can't talk yourself into it. You can't think yourself into it. You got to have this feeling, and then it's almost effortless. Do you think your book taps into a person's subconscious? Because that, I mean, they tell us, right? That's where the change really occurs. You got to get down to the subconscious mm-hmm. level. And there's some sort of language or something that really tickles the subconscious of mm-hmm. a reader that's going to not force that feeling, but allow that feeling to occur so that change can happen.
Courtney right. tickled me. This is exactly what happened. You tickled me.
Yeah. Yay. Well, You know, I talk a lot about this in my book, and especially even if you look at these words that we use, right? We got a thought and this thing that we call a feeling, right? The feeling is also a mental construct. If I say I'm feeling sad, that's a mental construct. Whereas what sensation is actually occurring in your physical body? And when you start to pay attention to that and really notice it, I mean, even if you look at it in terms of just scientifically speaking, if you look at what's happening when you're having a thought impulse, which again, most of us aren't fully directing, you get this electrical impulse, right? You attach this thing, this mental construct, this thing you call an emotion, right? You kind of spin it over and over. And then what happens is, if you're looking at brain body scans, you start to send neuropeptides down into the different organs of your body. They get lodged there. It's really fascinating. It's the West that's confirming what the East always knew.
Yep.
Right. And so what's happening though, is you're experiencing a sensation. And most of the time people stop before the sensation. So they say, I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling angry, whatever. And they miss this sensation, this physical thing. So again, we could talk about it in terms of subconscious, and there we get into a whole nother conversation. But I think even before that, paying attention to the sensation will do a couple of things. It's kind of one of the quickest ways for you to reset, first of all, because when you really pay attention, wow, there's this tingly feeling or this tickling feeling or I'm getting this burning sensation or this tightness, this contraction there. Voila, you can do something. Before that, you're kind of just spinning in the multiplex of the mind. And that doesn't really take us very far.
Our bodies have a brilliance beyond the level of mind. Mm-hmm. And we are, you said it before, we're so taught and so accustomed to, you know, the brain. And of course, we obviously need the brain to function. But our bodies have this incredible wisdom. Mm-hmm. If we can, and this is a good part of what you talk about in your book, is tuning into those senses, trusting what your body is telling you, it's going to give you something far beyond, and work with that along with your mind. This is where you're bridging that amazing gap.
Right, right. And also learning how to work with your mind, because unfortunately, we're really not taught any of this. I mean, most of us when we're growing up, I think maybe a scant few of us are taught about it, but very, very few of us are actually taught how to use these operating systems effectively. I mean, you're going around with the most magnificent operating systems ever created. And yet very, very few of us actually, you know how that works. I talk about this quite a bit in my work because I'm just so on about us learning more about it so that we can consciously direct it. So yeah, it's both. And the mind is incredibly powerful. I mean, we've got parts of our mind that do enormous tasks, things that, you know, we would be so humbled to even get a glimpse of if we could wrap our conscious mind around it at all. So yeah.
Courtney, can I try to summarize your book in just a few lines and see if you agree? That your book, Giving Yourself Permission, is bottom line about really getting in touch with what you love, what lights you up, mm-hmm. and identifying what's really important to you. And then with what you show us, to consciously direct your life with those in mind, what you love, what's important to you. And then how can you use your body wisdom and your conscious mind to then deliberately direct your life to those things?
Yeah. And I really love that you're using the word light, because, you know, there's lots of metaphors for spirit or that sense of being guided, right? And the more you sort of consciously direct all of this, the more that light, that life force in you that you rely on for pretty much everything in your life anyway, I talk a lot about that in the book too, really starts to take over, and you hand more and more of it over to that. To that power, to that intelligence within you. And yeah, and it's it's pretty magical stuff. Yeah.
Courtney, Jonna, again, I think that so many of us have limiting belief. Well, okay, let me back up for a minute. Do you think the core of what holds anybody back from either giving themselves permission or achieving the things that they want to achieve is a set of limiting beliefs? Like, is that it? Like, once we eliminate the limiting belief, we fly, we'd be free? Or is there more to it than that?
I think it's a bit more complex. I think one of the biggest things that hold us back that I see over and over, and I've seen in myself over and over, is this primordial need that we have for acceptance, right? So if I decide to radically shift my life, or I even decide to change something small about my life, how are others going to react to that? And I liken it a little bit because I, in the book, I talk about the word person, right? It comes from persona, which was in ancient Greek theater, it was the masks they wore. Mm. So if you think about it for a minute, it's like we all go around with these really nicely crafted masks, right? These personas, these characters that we've created, and they're great and they're fantastic. And we need them to sort of operate within this dimension. And imagine for a moment that you say, well, I'm going to change character, right? I'm going to take my mask, or I'm going to take my costume off, right? And say you're in a play, right? Which again, if we go back to some of the Eastern traditions, spiritual traditions, this is a great metaphor. You know, we're in this play and someone just takes their costume off. I mean, everyone else is going to pretty much freak out, right? But what I kind of joke about in the book is the more you learn to do this and the more accustomed and the more kind of at ease you become with shifting things in your life, the more you can change character sort of at will. So I think that is a huge one. Definitely, we also are looking at limiting beliefs that people have. And I talk too about the sort of, I talk about fear-based nudges and expansive nudges in the book, where I'm explaining kind of the difference between those and how to start to override some of those fear-based nudges that are coming from conditioning, coming from societal conditioning, but also the conditioning we put on ourselves. Now, societal conditioning is one thing, right? But when we start to put it on ourselves, that's when our identity forms, and that becomes much more difficult to free ourselves from. So yeah, get into that a lot in my book, but limiting beliefs are a big part of it.
Courtney, can you talk about opting out and JOMO? It's the first time I've heard JOMO.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is also another huge one, right?
We're
inundated, right? Yes. We have so much distraction in our lives. And I remember reading a statistic over 20 years ago, if you could believe that. I read the statistic that the average American was exposed to 3,000 advertisements per day.
20 years ago.
Wow. Now, just imagine on these phones, you know, right? We're all guinea pigs and, you know, we're all in there. And it's like, and all of these kind of ads or promotional things, most of them, almost all of them are saying, you know, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not thin enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough, right? What if you just do this thing, right? If you just buy this thing over here, if you listen to this or you do that, right? And one of the things I'm always saying in my work is I don't have your answers, right? But you do. You do. And anything that I can do is more of a reminder, right? Is like, oh, let's get back to that reminder place. And I think anything that effectively reminds you and allows you to kind of take that power back is really exciting. And then you can get into this JOMO where you've got the joy of missing out and you're kind of just letting a lot of that other stuff go, right? Because I mean, who the hell cares? Susie's new hairstyle and Frank's new girlfriend. It's like, yeah, great. But what about my life, right? And what about, am I living it? Am I full out living it, you know, every day, every moment? And yeah, and I think that's what we should all be doing as best we can. And sometimes it's hard, but you know, you get back into it. Every day is a new chance. Every moment is too.
I changed my morning routine this morning because of you. I usually, my gosh, after my husband goes off to work and then I sit down, not today. I ran the dishwasher. I have this weird thing that when I have the dishwasher running early in the morning, it makes me really happy. It's like, I don't know. I know, like I've got, and I'll take a video of it running, going it. To John. It's going to be a good day today.
So
I have my coffee and I sit down and I usually, well, just kind of check in with Instagram and Facebook, see what's going on. I'll often get caught there longer than I need to. And I have started my day by scattering my attention versus putting it on what's really important. This is something I've already learned from you. So I have, I had barely went on to look at anything so far this morning. I've mostly started rereading your book again because it's having such a positive impact on me. And what you say in your book is so true. We have to be our own filters. There's so much coming at us. And if you don't, what you've talked about, get in touch with what you love and what matters to you, how are you ever going to start that awareness of, well, what do I need to start filtering out that's taken my attention? Because it's taken away from what I love. It's taken away from what really matters to me. And the truth is, scrolling that finger, most of the time I'm like, don't care.
Precisely. Exactly.
You raise the question. So I don't forget exactly how you phrase it, but like, how do you feel after you're done scrolling? Do you feel scattered? Yep. You feel happier? Right. Nope.
I feel broke because I'm buying up all the crap that they're marketing to me. Click, 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 send. Yep.
Hilarious. Read chapter 4 of my book.
Oh, she stapled chapter 4 together in my first book, Happy Bitch, because it was about forgiveness.
Yep.
And she wasn't. We'll have to explain to you about the a-hole cups, inside out a-hole cups sometime.
Oh man, we're gonna have to get on a whole nother conversation. I'm looking forward to offline chats with you ladies. Yeah
Courtney, I don't want to overimpose on your time. I just want to say to the listeners, if you feel like you're not as effective or as happy or as peaceful as you would like to be in your life, and what you've been doing so far isn't working, she's refreshing. She delivers love, intellect, bigger picture, practical advice. And so we're wrapping up here with Courtney McDermott and her book, Give Yourself Permission. Be confident, be happy, be you. I am absolutely loving this book. Any final thoughts that you want to share with the listeners that we didn't bring up that are important, before we go?
I love you and thank you so much. I do. I feel my heart's just overflowing, and everyone who's listening, wow, you know, if you're tuning into this, it means you are invested in creating something way better in your life and in the world. And I'm just really touched. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can y'all, our pleasure. Where can people get your books? Cause you have multiple books out, or learn more about you. You even do one-on-one coaching. You're on social media. So how can people find you, Courtney?
Yeah, so I do very, very limited one-on-one. I actually have a long waiting list for that, but I am definitely online. You can find me. So my name is Courtney without a U. So it's Courtney. And you can find the book everywhere where books are sold, everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, some brick and mortar. And and online, I'm at Courtney McDermott. Also in a lot of different places, especially Instagram. I dig Instagram. It's fun, and LinkedIn as well. You can find me in those places too. And my website is courtinc.com or Courtney McDermott. Again, know you. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I am taking your advice to heart and already feel a difference, and it's been a day and a half.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you.
All right there, Courtney. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're not done with Happy Hour just yet. We've still got segment number 3 on the way with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And we'll be right back with that. So stick around.
Live better and laugh harder. It's Sunday morning and Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9. And 96.5 WBPM.
And welcome back again one more time here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
All right, so it was very nice to talk to Courtney McDermott there and her latest book. And also, Carol, you seem to be quite smitten with this new book.
Well, you guys know how much I love to read and how the volume of books that I've read, and every one of them, I'll take a nugget away. Yeah, okay, yep, that makes sense. Oftentimes, it enters my logical mind, makes sense, I forget about it. There's something with this book where I'm feeling a shift, like a settling down within myself, like, okay, I'm good. This makes sense. I know what to do. It just... it's powerful. It's beyond the level of conscious thought. She at least that's how she's reaching me.
I just love that. And, you know, and maybe other people will have the same experience, or maybe you are picking up this book at the precise time.
Exactly.
That the universe is also giving you a nudge. It's great. So it's synergy. I love it.
And some of the things we didn't even get a chance to talk about with her, because there's the big picture. There's the why this matters. There's the, you know, how this works. She brings in some scientific evidence as well to some of these things. That's what she was talking about, where the West is finally catching up with the East has known for a long time. But she gives you practical things to do. And she also talks about things we're not used to hearing about, like the importance of play and being playful and laughter, and what even just what laughter does to reduce our stress levels. You know, we get so wrapped up in this life, and we do need to be responsible and do a certain amount of adulting. But right. She brings in the case for the power of just enjoying your life more, and what and how that then flows through to actually having even more success.
Yeah, and there really is something to. I wanted to talk to her about and I'm sure we'll have her back on in the future. But I think when you talk about like the mind-body connection without getting all weird and and intellectual, because you know I like to dumb things down. Like, I do think that when you're, if something is bothering you, for example, or something is stressing you out, and you do something, your body is feeling it, but it's kind of more in your head, and you don't realize that your body is holding on to stuff while you're trying to work it out in your head. And I think that if you've ever like woken up in the morning and felt dread and you can't figure out why, when your body releases the stress, you could wake up the following morning and feel like everything's going to be okay, but you don't even know why everything's going to be okay. Because yeah. I really do think your body and your brain are besties. And,
yes.
You know, and when one gets all clogged up, the other one can't move freely and vice versa. So it's
Oh my God. That could be a whole book in and of itself. That's right. Like if you're clogging your body with fatty foods and sugary foods, and look, I love them. I have them, just not every day, all day long. Then that's going to clog your mind. It's going to clog your emotions. And same way, if you have negative thought patterns, that's going to affect you physically. They're completely intertwined, and we're not used to hearing that the body holds wisdom as well, and to tune into that and trust that. And she gives you very concrete ways to do that.
I might mm-hmm. have to actually once again
read.
Turn actual pages.
We talked to her off the air because my question, of course, was when's the audio version coming out? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to report that she said by Christmas. Isn't that what she said?
Yes.
That's what she's hoping for, yes.
Which is right around the corner, you guys. The end of this year is just, once we get Halloween, once you're past Halloween, it's total holiday all the time, race to the end of the year.
All right. Well, I guess we will call it a day then, or call it a morning, you might say. And again, and of course, thanks again to Courtney McDermott for joining us this morning. And we will be back next week, same time, right here with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci and me. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.